Welcome to All Means All. I'm Carolyn O'Hearn.
And I'm Sarah Percolosi.
We are two inclusive education enthusiasts striving to shift mindsets,
challenge the status quo,
and open more doors for all students
in all settings,
all of the time.
So, yay, woohoo, another episode. We are joined today with Mike Murata. He is an inclusive technology evangelist. And so honored to have you here, Mike. So thank you for joining us. Will you tell our listeners, because we've known you for 3.5 years, will you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and how you got started in the field of AT?
Yeah, I sure will. Thanks for having me. This is wonderful. I'm excited to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation that will probably go way too long and we'll have to cut it down, but it'll be awesome, I'm sure. I am thrilled to be here. I am an inclusive technology evangelist. I didn't start with that title. I started with the more traditional title of AT specialist, assistive tech specialist. In fact, I was from an age, that's my first age reference, but I'm from an age where I was a rehab technician when I started. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even have assistive technology in my title. I've kind of graduated all the way up to this inclusive technology evangelist title. Sometimes the term assistive technology specialist almost acts as a mechanism to push people away from you. Like, that sounds like something. I don't even understand what that is. And that's way too technical for me. I don't know assistive technology. I can't even wrap my brain around that. And so at points, I almost feel like that title is slightly off-putting to people. And so in this thought of how to approach this, thinking of it from a more inclusive standpoint of let's not just talk about assistive technology that's specifically for an individual with a disability. Let's look at how all technology can be customized to support all of us in what we need to accomplish.
We talk about this a lot, is that in education, we inadvertently set up these silos. In general education doesn't necessarily know what's happening in special education. Or I would even argue that there are a lot of classrooms where I might be the speech therapist coming into your classroom and I'm going to pull your student out and you really don't have a clear understanding of what it is that I'm working on with that student. Mm-hmm. And I'm not supporting you in a way that could really lead to meaningful change for that student. So let's just have a quick conversation about when we talk about eliminating silos, what does that look like and what does it mean?
Yeah, I think it's really important where you're talking to students and they have a favorite class or a favorite teacher. And when you go visit that room and you start to see why, and you see things that are being done differently or creatively, yet no one else knows about it, that's your silo in action right there, is that it's like every room is its own kingdom. And never does information cross. And some of the things, and you know, we all come from a related services background. One of the powerful things about being a related service provider is you see all the classrooms, or most of them at least. And you start to see some of those really great things that are being done. I know as I go into schools as a consultant, when I see some of those things, even if it's happening in a room that I'm doing something completely different, but I catch kind of a side ear of it. I'm like, well, wait a second, what's going on here? That's really cool. And then talking to that teacher and say, hey, does anyone else know about this? And sometimes it is it's not really that big of a deal. And it's so people kind of minimize their own mm-hmm. innovation mm-hmm. and they don't share, maybe because they're like, well, I don't want other people to critique or kind of, you know, try to knock me down for the things I'm doing. So sometimes they're keeping it for that reason in their silo. Other times, sometimes people want that skill set and want to be known as the person who knows how to do this. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so there is that too. And those are two different kinds of individuals. But ultimately, we are only better if we all share what we know, because there's no way we can all know everything. We all know everything together. We know certainly a lot more when we're together than we do separately. And so encouraging people to break down that information and share it. And maybe it becomes, I always feel like this part too, has some responsibility on the administrator too, to kind of bring this out in people at times, mm-hmm. and not to put this on a person. But I think sometimes that could help, is creating this environment where people feel comfortable to share, want to share ideas, are encouraged to share ideas to make each other better. And I think those are the things that will start breaking down some of those silos.
There's something happening in Michigan. It's an AT cohort. And initially this came from two newer AT specialists. Like, one is fresh out of grad school and got an AT specialist position. And one moved from one location to another. And she's like, I've never had an AT specialist position. I've been in my field for a while, but we don't know what to do. And it can't be on us. How do we start? What initially started as new to the field or new to the role. And then we started getting some little knocks or little inquiries of, I'm not new to the field, but I'm ready to think differently. And I need other people to kind of bounce ideas off of. And that's what we're kind of seeing snowball now.
One of the coolest thing I saw in a school, it's one of the schools that I work in, is in the elementary school, and now they do it in the middle school too, hopefully the high school soon, but in the two schools, there is a box, it's a mailbox in the main office, but it says, tell me something great. And anybody can write anything in there and drop it in there. Tell me something great moments can be a coworker, a colleague doing something really innovative or a new tool that you've learned. It could be anything. You want to nominate yourself for something, whatever. You want to nominate somebody else. It's great too. Anybody can put anything in this mailbox. And the principal of that school goes through them and chooses a couple. And they send those pieces of information to the high school. The high school has a TV studio course, mm-hmm. where the students run the TV that shows on the screens around the school, and across the other schools. And but these students also have to develop their skills to film content and put it together and video editing and all this great stuff. And so all of the Tell Me Something Greats go to the video department in that class. They dispatch a team of students with the video camera to interview the staff member. The students come back and cut that whole thing up into like a 30-second commercial, and it airs on all of the screens around the school. And it's kind of these little spotlight moments. And these have been really powerful to kind of have people, and I've watched staff do this, when one of these come on and you see people kind of stop and just watch mm-hmm. it at 30 seconds. And it does exactly what it's supposed to do, in that it engages them visually and then they're listening. And I've watched colleagues look at each other and like shake their heads like, I've never thought to do that. That's really cool. I'm going to try that. Right. Or, hey, she's in the classroom right down the hall from here. He's next door. I'm going to just knock on the door and ask how you do that. And I think those are ways to start doing a couple things there. You're breaking down a silo. You are promoting or celebrating innovation, and you're celebrating your team members at the same point. It's like, look, we are doing some cool things. And if we share this information, more of us can do those cool things. It's so important. And we see it so much with these silos. And it's so, when I see people doing something great and no one else knows, it's like that, you know, tree falling in a woods, or just an mm-hmm. echo somewhere in a woods somewhere, that you just, it could be reaching so many more people than it is. And sometimes it's just a question to point that out to people, like, hey, this is really cool what you're doing. We should tell other people.
And I would argue that, yes, they are sharing that information and increasing people's awareness of assistive technology, but we're also embracing that educator and saying, man, look at, we notice you're doing something good. And unfortunately in education, what we see a lot of times is, if you are doing great things, it's not noticed, but the second you do something bad, you are noticed mm-hmm. right away. So you're building that culture behind your school district of, this is the direction we're going. And then to be able to take that one step farther, to be able to show the community, this is what's happening in our schools. This is our story. We're all spouses, right? My husband has always said to me, like, I don't necessarily know what you do, but I know you work a lot. So how awesome is that if a video like that could be shared with my spouse and they can suddenly see the impact and the difference that I'm making. And now the hours that I'm spending at work may not seem like such a hard thing for our family. Right. And so I think there's just so much power in sharing our stories and being able to celebrate our successes and celebrating each other, which is one of the things I love about the community you've created on AT Chat, is it is a community of people who are there to celebrate each other and to be the champion. Like, yeah, we are here to cheer each other on and to continue the work forward.
Yeah. Someone on Twitter, I remember them talking about this idea of sharing your story. And I remember the quote being something like, share your story before someone else does. Control the story, share the parts that are good that you want to share, to counteract some of these other things that you're talking about, is that there are great things that happen.
So some of these examples so far have really hit on this feeling of disconnect.
That's a big piece of that silo issue that we were talking about, is the connection. And then it goes back to the set framework again. It's the connection. It's the conversation. It's getting people talking so that we're not in these bubbles thinking we know all, because we don't and we can't. And I guess really thinking about that end goal, which is the student. Like, we are working for the same purpose. Mm-hmm. We need to remember that that is our end goal, is that student.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember too that, regardless of where we are, so you're both in Michigan, I'm in New Jersey, well, I'm in New Hampshire now, but I'm in New Jersey. Our needs are kind of the same. Our issues are kind of the same. There are many universals that we all face, that we could help each other. And I think we saw in the beginning of the pandemic, here comes a shameless self-promotion, hold on. I just co-authored a journal article for ATIA for their outcomes journal, with Beth Poss and Sarah Gregory, talking about this idea of building communities of practice. And really what we talk about is this idea that for many of us, I think the two of you are in a great situation, in that you both work for the same organization and have similar roles and similar experiences, and you have someone you can bounce things off of. And as a team, as a provider team of one, I am very jealous of that, because I don't have a bouncer offer. And I know there's a better way to put it, but I like that instead. This idea of it, well, I'll bounce it off you guys. Yeah.
And I was like, you know where to find us.
Yeah, right. I just got to find you. But I think I think there is some value, mm-hmm, not some, there's so much value in this idea of developing your, you know, we talk a lot about your professional learning network, your PLN, but thinking about your community of practice, who do you lean on to help you, answer questions, troubleshoot ideas, just think about things. If you're an individual practitioner, this is really hard. Mm-hmm. And so thinking about that, you know, we do a lot of things that help to try to promote this concept of community. If you're on Twitter, we do the AT chat on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, where it is a Twitter-based conversation in real time about topics related to AT. But we also do this Monday it's Mondays at noon Eastern. We do a Zoom-based AT town hall that actually started the week things shut down because of the pandemic. And it started as a direct response to, what the heck do we do now? How are we going to do what we're supposed to do when everything has changed? And so it started as that. And it's really interesting to go back to some of these first town halls. And I went back to the first one, and there was a lot of just kind of head nodding and I don't know what I'm going to do. And there was a lot of, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we kept going, and we've done this now every Monday, except for holidays, but every Monday since March of 2020, we've done this town hall. Anywhere from 5 to 15 or 20 people will show up every week. There's no plan. It's my favorite kind of presentation or connection. There's no agenda. There's no plan. There's just conversation. And after an hour, it ends. You go from there. And you never think it's going to fill the hour, and it fills the hour every time. But this idea of just giving a space for people to share what they're doing, how they're doing it, and why they're doing it has been really just one of the bright spots in the past couple of years when everything kind of changed, because it's given this connection to people in our field that I've heard other people have now kind of adopted this as a way to connect their more local resources together, which I think is awesome. It's a great space to do that. It's a great strategy to do that. Thinking about ways you can give people a chance to just have discussions about things. But it all comes down to that idea of building community, breaking down those silos, giving people opportunities to share with each other and share their expertise.
So we got to meet you at ATIA in person. And I think that was one of the coolest things to witness at ATIA was all of these people that had connected through Twitter or through Zoom for essentially a year, year and a half. And they had established a relationship. Carolyn and I lovingly call each other Sarah Lynn because we do. We're very fortunate that we have each other to bounce ideas off of. But more than ideas is to really challenge each other's thinking and to be able to say, is that the goal or is there something more? Like, let's lean into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what I found through the last 6 months is it doesn't just end with Carolyn. Mike, I'm joining Twitter. I'm finally, like, I joined it when you came to Dickinson Iron so many years ago. And I was like, that's not my thing. I am diving deep into Twitter, guys, and I am finding a whole community of not just AAC, not just AT specialists, but really looking at inclusion and what does this mean for all learners and how can we help expand our horizons? So if you feel like you're sitting on an island, there are so many resources. That's one of the things that prompted the two of us to start this podcast was we have our favorite podcasters that have challenged our thinking. They have made me go from point A to point C or D or maybe even Z. But to be able to say to somebody, like to say to Carolyn, oh my gosh, you have to listen to this. And then let's have a conversation. And I think that's part of one of the benefits of the pandemic, right? We all felt so isolated. And so how do you establish that connection? And my hope is that now that we're quote unquote getting back to normal or more normal lives, that we don't lose what we've learned. There's resources out there, right? We just have to be able to be willing to find them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one thing I always say to people when they start in this kind of dive into the world of AT is ask your questions. It is a very welcoming community who freely share information.
Mike, how can they find you? The people who are listening, you've said lots of good nuggets of information, and it's just that. You're a great resource. You're super easy to get a hold of. Where can people find you?
How can they find me? Search me out on Twitter. Because if you're not on Twitter, that'll force you to get on there, and then you realize how great it is. My Twitter handle is MMATP. You can also find my website at mmatp.com, which will also give you my email, and you can connect with me that way. So reach out. Join the AT chat on Wednesday nights. You will find yourself embraced by a, dare I say, assistive technology family that will have your back for anything. And like Sarah mentioned, when we get together at some of these events and we, in some instances, only know each other from Twitter, you step into a situation in a real life scenario where you're not creating a bond with someone. You have it already, and you just go forward from there. And it is really powerful. These individuals you meet are more than just connections. They can become friends. And you can have that sounding board and those people who will give you great ideas and, like you both have said, challenge you to think differently and think critically about what you're doing and how you're doing it. So that's really important. So all of that to say, reach out. I would love to be part of your collaboration to make you more successful in what you're doing.
So thank you, Mike. Always, as always, you know, you come in. I learn something every time I talk with you. I think a little differently. You challenge our thinking, our perspectives, but also validate us on where we are in this journey. So I always appreciate your time and energy. Those are quite valuable resources. So thanks for joining us on All Means All.
I'm happy to join. This was fun. Never pass up a chance to chat with both of you. So this is wonderful. Thank you.